As you walk along Tanglewood's meandering paths, it's easy to miss a series of small wooden shacks nestled amongst the pine trees until you hear the sweet music emanating from within.
And it's here that the Tanglewood Music Center fellows hone their craft and learn from the masters. For all of you who don't know, forever, I never know how to put these things on. And Joe, either in the morning roundtable or now, make sure that people can hear me. And thanks
a lot. I have to mic the boss.
Back to you.
Thank you, Alan. For decades, talented young musicians from around the country and around the globe have been coming to the Berkshires to study with some of the best musicians in the world.
And some people have said that they constitute the second best orchestra in the world.
Absolutely.
After the BSO. Today we're joined by Ellen Heistein, our old friend and a wonderful friend, the director of the Tanglewood Music Center.
We're also joined by two outstanding TMC fellows, cellist Francesca McNeely is a graduate of Princeton and Rice University, and mezzo-soprano Fleur Baron is with us, was the first prize winner of the 2013 Liederkranz, is that correct?
That's right.
Excellent. Competition. In 2016, Fleur was a Palm Beach Opera young artist singing Mercedes and covering the title role of Carmen, and now you're here in the Berkshires. It's a delight to have the three of you here this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
All right. So let us begin with you, Ellen. How are things going with the TMC?
Do you have to send anybody home from camp this year?
Not yet. They've all behaved themselves. We're all doing very, very well. Yeah, that's right. It's not that early for us, actually. We've had a lot of stuff going on already. Many concerts. What, about six or seven, ladies?
And
we have a lot coming up, including our first orchestra concert Sunday night with Maestro Lacombe, whom I know you spoke with this morning.
Did.
I heard him on the radio. And who is the busiest man in the world this weekend, I think. Maybe he has 5 minutes to have a coffee, but I don't know.
Oh, well, I think he's done more in this weekend than, for example, Andres Nelson may do during the entire summer here. He's only here for 2 weeks, right?
That's right. He's here for a brief period. But, on the other hand, we get him for a week of that time.
Because
he's going to conduct the TMC Orchestra in an all Brahms program, which is pretty thrilling, in the shed on July 31.
Ellen, where would you put Brahms on the all-time list of greatest classical musicians?
Okay, he's my favorite composer, except, of course, then there are all the other favorite composers. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
Well, if Bach is number one, which pretty well is agreed, where would you put him?
Also number one. You know, it's not like, you know, I don't know, a long distance race or something.
I tend to see the world that way.
Yes, so. I know. That's something one has to work on. We'll talk about that. But in any case, it really is thrilling. And we also have a very interesting program that Fleur, for example, is going to be a major part of, where we have an orchestra concert on the 8th of August, which will be dedicated to the memory of our great Phyllis Curtin, whom we lost just weeks ago, actually.
A great friend,
an incredible, unique person and singer. And we're doing a program which includes the Shostakovich 14th Symphony, which was a very major piece for Phyllis, but also the Vile Seven Deadly Sins, in which that's a solo 50-minute gig for Fleur. So
is that what
no
you're
pressure.
Is that what you're getting ready for? Right, I mean, is all focus on that, or is there a lot of other stuff to do in between?
It's the culmination of my performance assignments for the summer. So I do have several chamber music concerts before that, which are honestly just as exciting for me because I don't get to perform recitals in chamber music that frequently, particularly in a venue as prestigious as Seiji Ozawa Hall and at Tanglewood. So the bulk of my coachings for the next couple weeks are focused on that. But mentally, I'm definitely gearing up for this, you know, as Ellen put it, this big solo feature on August 8th, which is so thrilling. And it's one of the most interesting librettos I've ever had the pleasure of working with because it's not the seven deadly sins as we know them. It's kind of this inverse morality play. So it's going to be shocking in the best possible way.
You mean they're not deadly? How does that work?
They are corrupting. Yeah, they're. I'm going to leave it as a surprise. But
it's like most of them are all right. Okay. Don't worry about it.
Okay, so tell us your secrets. Do you gargle every morning, or what is it?
I do all the weird singer things you could possibly hope for.
Name a few.
Strange vocalises that sound like lots of that in the morning, first thing when I get out of bed.
That's a cardinal, yeah.
There you go, exactly. I do a lot of rigorous diet things, you know, no spicy food, no this and that, particularly the day of a performance. So, yeah, I don't want to bore you with all the minutia because there are many, but, you know, I've come up with my own things over the years.
And how much in coming up with those things, how much of it is maybe not superstitious or psychological and like really, oh, you know, you have to do this or you notice?
I would like to think that nothing I do is ritualistic, that they do feel like things
there's
that are
a purpose.
Yeah, physiologically yeah. helpful for my singing and, you know, for me to maximize my performance. And there are things I've gleaned from my teacher and from my colleagues over the years. So I don't think any of them are superstitious.
Francesca, do cellists have similar rituals with their fingers? Or?
Not quite as fun. No bird sounds for us. I mean, I think for us, I think the best way to prepare for performance is sort of to prime your muscles and your mental state, because for us, obviously, we lots of small muscle movements all the time. Probably the only ritualistic thing that I hear about is the bananas. People tend to have a banana before a performance. And
really?
Yeah, sometimes I've seen people get really upset when they can't get their hands on that banana. I don't know. I think it's the potassium, the beta blockers.
Oh,
that's the actual reason. But I think for a lot of people, it doesn't actually do anything.
You share with my daughter the fact that you're a Princeton person.
Ah, okay.
And how did that help?
I mean, looking back at it.
Can't hurt, right?
Can't hurt, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes it has a reputation of being a little snotty, a little this, a little that. How has it helped you? You went to Rice, mm-hmm. more of a people's place after that.
That was
a question, I think.
Yeah. Sorry. Looking back at it, I'm so grateful that I took, you know, the 4 years to just have a liberal arts education, because I think it just gave me the time to develop myself and my mind and then to kind of hone in on the musical skills more so. But I sort of had an atypical Princeton experience in that I didn't do all the typical social things people expect. My best friends were in the orchestra, and they're still my best friends. We had a great phone call with one of them yesterday. You know, we stay very much in touch, and everyone's branched off, and only a couple of us stayed in music. But I found a very special community of like-minded people there through the orchestra, actually. So then once I left, it was just natural to keep going in that direction.
When did you know you were good?
Ooh, ugh. I don't think it's happened yet. I'm still waiting.
Well, we certainly know that she's really good. And as a matter of fact, the business about enhancing the sort of intellectual context that she mentioned through 4 years of that very fine liberal arts education may be reflected in the fact that she was selected to be one of our new Fromm players, which is our dedicated new music ensemble. And Francesca also has a star turn coming up, because one of the chamber concerts in our Festival of Contemporary Music is devoted to the new Fromm players, and she's going to be on stage for the whole time doing very challenging works of composers, some of whom she's met, some of whom she has not met, but I think all that background helps.
Well, I asked the guys earlier today what being in around Yo-Yo meant to them. Have you had a chance to meet him yet?
Oh, so many times. He appears at concerts, or I think I bumped into him at Loeb's one time in town. He's such an incredible force, and just it's hard to really explain that energy, but when you meet him, you can't help but beam back at him. And he shook my hand after the Mark Morris Dido and Aeneas, my very first summer here, and I freaked out. I called my parents, I texted, Yo-Yo was
and
here.
And you didn't wash your hand for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Another
that
ritual.
Magic, right.
Yeah. How many years have you been?
This is actually my fourth summer here at the TMC, although I technically was here for BTI way back in the day.
But that's
one
unusual.
Time.
That's unusual, right, Ellen?
No, it's not unusual. It's just that there's a break between, because BUTI, after all, is primarily high school kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
oh, I see.
We are primarily graduate school and older.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's generally a hiatus, and people find their feet, and then they come
back.
But
how many years at this one?
At the TMC, this is my fourth year.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not easy.
Yeah.
No, I love it. I mean, every time I come back, it's just a whole new experience.
Well, I don't think people understand fully, why should anybody, but that this is really the top honor that a young performer can get. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, these are incredible. When you look at the people who graduated from this, from Bernstein on, it's just incredible. incredible how many people were here.
Yeah, the alumni
Seji?
List is pretty
Wasn't
good.
Seji here?
He was. Yeah. He was, and it made a big, big impact in his life.
Yeah.
And I can also add, you know, we have about 1,500 to 1,600 applicants annually, and that's a self-selected list. You don't apply if you don't think you have a shot. And
well, I don't know. I applied to Harvard. I didn't get in.
Okay, but, you know, Harvard's easier to get into than us because we only admit about 100 out of that 1,600.
Yeah.
So it's a
that's really amazing.
It's a pretty selective
and
process.
And is it all blind?
Yeah.
These are auditions, so the both of these ladies had to go behind the curtain and be listened to?
Yes, though not every year. In other words,
okay, once you're in, you're in.
Francesca, for example, was invited this year because we knew her from the other years. And, you know, if you're reinvited, which, by the way, is pretty rare, you have to be awfully good to get a reinvite.
And what about demographics? Is the orchestra demographically where, you know, a lot of people would like to see it?
Funny you should ask that. I have my little demographic chart.
All right. We have about 20 seconds, but go ahead.
Okay. We have kids from 15 countries and maybe 17 states in the U.S. About, I think, a third of them are foreign. Represent about 44 different conservatories, though not all of them are in school, obviously. And about a 50-50 men and women. I think it's a nice distribution.
Well, we are out of time, but I want to thank all of you for being here. Francesca, thank you. And Ellen, of course, thank you very much for being with us. For wonderful, and have great performances throughout the summer.
Thank you. Thanks.
We will be back with more Roundtable live from Tanglewood. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.